First of all, today is Sunday, February 1st, 2015. Then the year is flying by. I want to say hello to all my students in front of me and to the many across the expanse of the Jewish world. Two concepts that I spoke about last week, either Sunday or Monday or both, relating to the Rashbam and Mark Shapiro's criticism and the editing. I made a mistake in one little concept. It's not an English translation of the Rashbam. Art Scroll is putting out an edited edition of the commentaries of the Rishonim on Chumash. I didn't know Art Scroll got involved in that. Moshe Cook has been involved and others, but Art Scroll now is involved, and there with the Rashbam, they have edited the Rashbam. Nachum Lam knows the topic very well, and he explained to me that the various editions of the Ramban, of the Rashbam, and sometimes things were left out of Kitvei Yad, but they have gone even further, so that Mark Shapiro's critique is correct. Secondly, in relation to the criticism of yours truly that appeared in Amid this past week with my picture, centerfold picture, so some people were upset and wanted me to answer, if they want to answer. So I just want to tell everyone there's no need to answer, get involved in Machloket, because you see, when you dialogue or debate with someone, you can only have a successful, enlightening dialogue if you accept the same ground rules. When it comes to yours truly and this Rabbi Frankfurter or me, there's no dialogue because our framework is not the same. He comes from a world where there's one truth and everyone else has fallen by the wayside. I come from a world where you can have many different hashkafas, and each hashkafa is up to the individual. I can't tell you my hashkafa is better than yours. My hashkafa fits me. You're entitled to your choice. And this, of course, was the Rav. And this takes us back to Jewish Observer, which none of you already know what I've mentioned, Jewish Observer. Jewish Observer was a fabulous publication. It was a monthly publication about Agudat Yisrael of America. I used to get it monthly and either laugh, cry, or aggravate. But at least you knew what Agudat Yisrael was thinking. They had very interesting articles. And they were put out of business by Mishpacha. And Mishpacha already has on me, which I understand is to the right of it, is a competitor of Mishpacha. And when the Rav died, there was a eulogy in Jewish Observer that caused a lot of common tension, heartache. And instead of seeing the greatness in the Rav, that he could produce so many Talmidim who are so varied in their thinking and coloration, they criticized the Rav for not producing a black and white Talmud. And therein is the big difference. And in other words, my hashkafa is not the cup of tea of Ami. And Ami's hashkafa, I will tell you, those who want to live with it, gesunte hate, no one has the perfect hashkafa. And no one has yet shown that their hashkafa raises kol b'nayach limudei Hashem. We all suffer from fallaways. And I don't have to go any further than the great Bell's dynasty with first the family, a family I know, with the newspapers, the television, they became stars, and it breaks my heart to see a father and mother and 8 children threw away kol ha-Torah kula bevat achat. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart when I was in America just recently, a week ago, when did I get back? A week and 10 days ago, 9 days ago, I see kids at YU maledicting the black and whites, as they call them. I learned a new term. And why they can't take their girlfriends up to their dorm room. And they're furious with YU, and then they want to leave, and they want to go to NYU. And Ribbono Shel Olam, none of us have the perfect answer. So I'm very happy with my answer, the way I live, but there are other points of view too. And therefore a debate or a dialogue is not possible, and I thank all the people who felt they had to take up the the battle for the covet of Aaron Rakefet. I'm moved, but it's not necessary. Now, I want to go further today, and it's just a fabulous sefer. Speichim l'shamro HaRav Moshe Mendel. And he comes up with onto 125 reasons what an Erev accomplishes for us. And we saw last week questions, fascinating questions, people who don't carry on Shabbos and wear a scarf around their neck, take their talis, wear it around and roll up the two handkerchiefs, turn it into a scarf around their neck. People who go to mikveh wear the towel around their neck. Women with their kishutim, with their tachshitim, with their diamonds, with their jewelry. Those of you who are married know that Erev Yontif, you have to give your wife jewelry, dresses. Oh, what you have to do for a woman. I have only one comment I saw in the papers. I saw in the weekend papers. Could be I don't remember exactly. Either I saw it in one of the Torah sheets they give out in shul, but now there's a move on in the right, in the left-wing element of the Orthodox rabbinate in Israel. I'm using popular terms that, you know, al pi halacha, children are awarded to the mother. Little children are given to the mother. And now these rabbis claim the halacha has to be modified because women work exactly like men. So you have to decide who has more time to be with the children, the man or the woman. And I say about making a woman happy, yontif, a new dress, tachshitim. Nowadays, I know my own grandchildren, the women make more than the men, plain and simple. So who gives who the gifts? It could be it's in reverse now, that the woman has to give the man the gifts. Of course, a man doesn't want jewelry, although I saw in Young Israel of Hollywood, sitting two seats away from me, was a man with a beard, with a tzitzit out, and earrings in his ears. And boy, I was sitting there, and I'm my students on the other side of me, and I'm just dying, you know. I'm from a different era. It's like Rabar. I heard a good story on Shabbat with Rabar and Lichtenstein, or I heard it Erev Shabbat from a student, that a kid came over to Rabar and a kid, you know, a young graduate of Alon Shvut, and he says to Rabar and Rebbe, I have a question. I ask, what's the question? That they have little children at home. Is it fair that he goes to daven every Shabbat and his wife has to babysit? Maybe once a month, Shabbos Mevarchim, he'll stay home and let his wife go to daven and let her enjoy the davening Shabbos Mevarchim, Rosh Chodesh, it's a chag for women. So Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein said to him, you're asking a rabbi from the wrong generation. And I was sitting there suffering with the earrings, but for all these questions, how can you carry on Shabbos? Even if there's no Erev, it's a tachshit. Does a man have a din of a tachshit? Does a woman? And tov shishkoitim v'al yimizidim, everything we spoke about last week, you build an Erev, you solve all problems, handkerchiefs around your neck, etc., etc. Okay, now I'm beginning with page 55 in Smeichim l'Shamro. There are other questions that come up. Ah, this is something already that I remember vividly. Shabbat, what can you carry? What can't you carry? Give you an example. What is carrying? What is not carrying? Give you an example, which he doesn't discuss, but I remember this clearly. The Jews in America, and it's true until today to a certain degree, there's a generation of Jews that loves chazanet. I don't know, my generation, my children, my grandma, and my grandchildren, they look for a shul that davens at a proper pace. They're not going to sit around davening Shabbos morning from 8:30 to 12 o'clock to hear some world-famous chazan. But Jews, I remember in the Bronx, when they would bring a world-class chazan, ugh, the mob scenes that used to come out, people who were machal Shabbos and worked on Shabbos, that Shabbos, they made it their business to be in shul. If they went to work, they went to work late. Now, the shul had a real problem. to bring a first light chazan is not like bring Aron Rakefet. Aron Rakefet, as some of you know, I don't touch money. I'm a different tipus. There are rabbanim who say, you want me to speak, $3,000 for the weekend, etc., etc. With a chazan, you got to pay him. You got to pay him heavy bananas. Well, if the shul paid him heavy bananas, they sold tickets. No, how do you get in Shabbos? You can't carry the ticket. There was no Erev in New York. No, does anyone remember? They gave you a string to wear around your hand. If you wore that around your hand, you could come to shul, you follow me, and you show the string, and Rafi, you can get in. Are you allowed to wear that string? I'll take it even further. Kever Rachel, the Reita Bindel, the red band, I don't see it around anymore. Are they still selling it? It was Alpi Kabbalah. They took a material, they circled the keva, they cut it into strips, they tie it together, sew it together, press it together, whatever, and people are buying it. No, you live in an area where there's no Erev, all right? Are you allowed to wear that on Shabbat? Interesting question. Now let's go a little further. What about kamiyot? What about kamiyot? No, anyone know what a kamiya is? Have you ever gone to a rebbe? I don't know. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had an interesting form of kamiyot. He gave out dollar bills Sunday morning. So, all right, with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he gave you a dollar bill. He told you to give it to tzedakah, right or wrong. No one ever gave that dollar to tzedakah. They redeemed it. Many people gave $10 to tzedakah. They redeemed it, $20. And the dollar bill they framed are the picture of the Rebbe. All right, there's something to it. The Rebbe gave it's a form of Shirayim too. Just think. But if you go to a Rebbe and you're telling me you have a sore throat, you have this problem, this health problem, so he gives you a coin wrapped in a little bit parchment with some a pasuk or an allusion to a pasuk, and that's covered up. And you have to wear it around your neck. No, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. You see, the kamiyot is very fascinating. The Shulchan Aruch brings down. There were kamiyot that they pinned to themselves that actually were like little bottles that had spice in it or whatever. The Rebbe blessed and said, this will protect you and give you good health. Are you allowed to wear that on Shabbat? And you can go even further. And he goes into great detail. He knows medicine. Lo aleinu, you have a heart condition. Serious heart condition. You have to carry, can anyone tell me? We have anyone to study medicine here? Nitroglycerin pills, right or wrong? At all times, it's sakonet nefasha. No, are you allowed to carry it on Shabbat? And what about if you're you suffer from diabetes and in the middle you have an attack and you have to take sometimes what they take sugar or certain pills? This is sakonet nefashat. Are you allowed to carry? Not allowed to carry. And I'll go even further. And he discusses this. It's very fascinating.
We give an answer because. Just to say that an Erev saves us.
I'll give you an answer right now to one of the questions. But he goes into all these questions, but this is a question that we had, I had. I had a Paskin Lahalacha. Yitzchak had the question. Many of us had the question. When you went to Russia under the communists, you could not leave your passports or your money or your visa in the room. The KGB not only searched, but I'll give you a simple example. Hannah Zemish, I think. She's no longer alive. She was editor of one of the, at that time there were many newspapers in Israel. She was editor of, I believe, the Mapai newspaper. And she went to Russia in an official delegation, and she was briefed by the people who I worked for in the Mossad, and they told her, don't leave anything in the room. Hannah Zema, I think the name was Zema in Hebrew. It was Hebraized. And she didn't listen. She was a big shot. She was there in an official delegation. Why does she have to worry? And lo and behold, they robbed everything. The minute they rob your passport, your visa, your money, you're grounded. You're grounded. You can't do anything. You have to go to the police. You have to come back. And it was unbelievable. The day she left, before she left, the police came to the hotel. Oh, we caught the crook. We found it and gave it back to her. Now, there was no crook involved. They didn't catch any crook. It was purely the KGB at work. Why the Russian Empire was so poor, when you think of the millions of dollars they spent watching tourists, watching Big Brother, watching neighbors, snitching, worrying what a communist system is about, how it functions out of fear, then you can understand, Adam, why they were bankrupt. You follow me? There are reasons. If you know what the expression means, a Potemkin village. There was a story like this. It was a Potemkin village. They sent a Sputnik up. They did have some great achievements. But 90% of the population lived as a fourth world country. So
what? Why did they steal it from the woman?
So she shouldn't be able to function. Go to homes. Go visit Refusnikim. She was.
Because she had to travel.
Yeah, whenever you traveled in Russia, you could be stopped at any time. Show your papers, who you are. Once you don't have papers, you can't budge, you understand? Once you don't have money, it's before credit cards. Today, you can go anywhere, you don't have to carry any money with you. I was in America for 2 weeks, I don't think I spent one coin or one bill, it was all credit cards, okay? So then there was a whole machlokes, and he paskins the way I paskin. I paskin to put it under your hat. I have a hat, I showed it a few years ago in the Kollel. If you remind me, I'll bring it again. It's a hat where my wife made a pocket inside the hat. And in that pocket on my head, I had the passports, I had the visa, I had the money. What's the advantage? It's above ten tefachim. Above ten tefachim is makom patur. You follow? So you can walk and go all over. Again, it's not like chatchila, but certainly it's a strong heter in a situation like this. There was others who claimed better to put it into your shoe. Into your shoe is within three fachim of the ground. It's lavud. So once again, it's lavud in the sense there's no hagbah, there's no haknasa. It's just lavud. It's part of the shoe. It's part of the ground. It's not really being carried. The problem with that solution was that you bent the passports, you harmed the passports, it harmed the way you walk. It was not as easy as putting it into your hat. So here, he talks about it. He talks about when you need documents and the right, there was a solution to put it into your hat. But when all is said and done, we need an Erev. It solves all these problems. And even if you hold Brooklyn, and this is his chop, and he says it time and again, although I don't think it's practical, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'll come back to it when I deal with the Lubavitcher Rebbe down the line, not today. He says, even if you hold that Brooklyn is a reshut harabim the oraita, but do what you can to turn it into a karmelit, and make it tzirat ha-petach. By the way, if you want to see an interesting tzirat ha-petach, if you know where Rehov Diskin is, Sharei Chesed has its own Erev. Like many from communities, they're not samach on the bigger Erev, not samach on the Erev of the rabbinate, they're not samach on the Erev, for many problems, because Jerusalem today is more than 600,000 people. But they have their own Erev, and if you enter Rehov Diskin from the side nearest us, right off the highway, right off Rehov Ramban, you'll see And a Tzirat HaPetach Erev right there. You'll see handkerchiefs on it so that you should recognize it's an Erev. It's up quite high so cars can go through, trucks can go through. But there you have a perfect Tzirat HaPetach Erev. In America, they would take them to court, public property, etc., etc. But Baruch Hashem, this is Israel. And I lectured on this in America. It hit home that you all know the problem here. Meir Kahanayor used to say that the Declaration of Independence is ab initio a contradiction because it's a Jewish state and a democratic state. How can you have both? Judaism is not democracy. We can't vote on whether to observe Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat, Mishpacha. It's, on the other hand, the democracy, freedom of expression. And this question, you can, it's fascinating. I don't have time now, but I'll give you one little example. Supreme Court Judge Aaron Barak, who really was not a great Lamdin and had very little Jewish background in the sense of Yiddishkeit and Torah, but he was a very fine person on a personal level. He was very good to students of mine who worked for him in the Supreme Court. Very nice person. So the question came up, was a classic question. The government only allows the import of kosher meat. So meat dealers got together, went to the Supreme Court. This is against democracy. We want to import pork and treif meat. We have plenty of Russians here who eat it, etc., etc. And Aaron Barak ruled, he was the majority opinion, that it's a, in this case, the Jewish values are more important than the democratic values. And he stood behind the fact that we can only bring in kosher meat, and that's the law of the land until today. Now, when you can turn a Reshut HaRabim into a Karmelit, so carrying is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. So you mitigate the Het, the Issa. He was in, he said time and again, even those who oppose, but at least make it a Karmelit. I'll just make one comment in parentheses. Noah, if you do this, there are no secrets in this world. There are particularly no secrets today. In other words, when I grew up, you could yet keep a secret. Why? There was no fax machine, there's no email, there's no computer. Today in a computer, you get the news before it's announced. It's beyond words. So you follow me, Isaac? There are no secrets in this world. So if you're going to turn Brooklyn into a Karmelit, the word is going to go out. The average person is going to say they made an Abram. In other words, you can't keep it a secret. But he says, at least do it. Those that want to be machmir, be machmir. But at least understand that these people going out with a red bindle, going out with a ticket to hear a chazan. Do you remember that, Yitzchak? Did you have that in Boston? You don't remember it. Oh, I remember New York, and there were shrim shuls that wouldn't do it. They maledicted the shuls that did it, but the big shuls had the money to bring a chasen. To bring a top chasen ran you $3,000-$4,000. That was what we spoke about a year or two ago in the Monday class, where this big chasen drives up on Shabbos, and a riot broke out in the shul. And he had to run away. They had to refund the money. But not all the chazanim with tzaddikim. About one chazan, you know, they claimed that when he fell korim under the talus, he had a sandwich. And I don't know, until today, I'm not certain it's not correct. I don't know if he had time to eat a sandwich, but he probably had a quick candy bar, give him a burst of energy. So, but all these people, all the medicines, instead of putting into your head, nitroglycerin, I mean, you certainly have to carry on Shabbos. I don't know exactly if I had a doctor, he could give us details with other problems, but the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're dealing here with mamish, pikuach nefesh, in the full sense of the word. Okay, then he goes into something else, which again, is something we take for granted. Glasses. You're allowed to wear glasses on Shabbos? Glasses? What is this? A lavush? Is this a lavush? What are you wearing it for? What do the glasses do for you? What about if they're only reading glasses, but you could walk normally without the reading glasses? What about sunglasses? What about sunglasses on top of regular glasses? And all these, you should know, the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems, Asad wearing glasses on Shabbos. To me, it's Sakonet Nefashan. How can a person go out, cross the street, today, cars, red light, green light, how can you live without wearing your glasses? But there's an entire literature on this. And sunglasses become even more of a problem. Those that are more machmir only used to wear sunglasses that clipped on, that you didn't wear a separate glass, it was part of the original glass, that and that, that they were matir, those that have glasses where you can, the sun, it gradually changes in the sun, that's altogether better from the point of view of Shabbos. But are you allowed to wear glasses like that, where you're walking around, creates a physical, molecular change in the glasses? Reb Moshe has a tshuva, there already Achronim will discuss it. But all these problems, la halacha, he reaches the point, he reaches the psak. It's a million times better to have an Erev. Now,
do most of the poskim say that wearing glasses without an Erev is fine?
Yeah, most of the poskim. There's pikuach nefesh involved. In other words,
what's the issue?
Because it's not clothes. It's not clothes. In other words, when you wear glasses, it's a tachshit. Is it a tachshit? Do men have tachshitim? What's the purpose of the glasses? The problem becomes even more pronounced if you only need the glasses to read. You can see at a distance. To see at a distance, you can walk around without glasses. When you need the glasses to read, the glasses I'm wearing now are my reading glasses. I can read with these glasses. The glasses I wear when I drive, I can't read. In other words, I can't read as easily. It's a little harder to read. Yes.
I'm sorry, I take the class today.
Why?
I'm going to be in England, no way, but now I just realize I can't take my reading glasses.
No, not Paschim Lahalacha. Oh, you can't take your reading glasses. But one second, where you are, there's no Erev. That's saying nothing on me. Well, don't be sorry you came to class, Baruch Hashem. But one second, I just want to understand. Where you are, you're going to take a talent, or they give you a talent in shul?
Even though I know how to spell assume, I assume that there's talisim and sidurim in the shul.
One second, you're from London, right?
Yeah.
What section in London?
London.
So you can't...
That's the Froome area.
Yeah, that's the...
I'm going to be in Sussex Garden going to Cumberland's Court, West End.
Right. Not halfway from the shore.
What?
Not halfway from the shore.
I hope so.
Sure.
Okay, but the question is reading glasses. And if you take off your walking glasses, can you read without glasses? Kum si kum sa. Interesting.
Good thing I know the
doctor. Maybe the best thing is to ask the shamas, come Friday with your talis bag and your glasses in there, and tell them you like a place to leave it, you'll take it after Shabbos. Could be they, I'm sure they can accommodate you. It's not a big request. That would solve that problem. But interesting. I was in London, but I was in Hendon Golders Green, so I never had a problem. You follow me? If I'm Samach on the Erev of Yerushalayim, I can be Samach on the Erev there. It's the same people who built, as I showed you, it's the same people who built the Erev here, beat the Erev there. But he goes on and on. Then you take all very simple questions. Tell me, cotton in your ear, bandages. Sometimes you wear a bandage, not that it heals, but you're wearing the bandage to protect yourself from banging it, from infecting. The truth of the matter is, you're wearing the bandage purely for reasons that are not applicable now, just to protect yourself for the future. No, all these concepts, how are you allowed to carry? And there's endless material in the Achronim on these problems. You build an Erev, you solve the problem. 100%. Then he goes into all that we have discussed for so many years, all the different clothing that we wear that really is not part of our regular clothes. Do the hat problem, the shlaimel problem, putting the plastic on. Reb Moshe Feinstein asks, right or wrong? What about boots on top of shoes? Why are you wearing the boots? You're wearing the boots not because it's clothing, not because you need shoes. You have shoes. You're wearing the boots to protect the shoes. And it could even be that Rav Moshe is makmir there. What about a gold watch, which a man is wearing as a takshit? Rav Moshe, bal nefesh akmir, a ben Torah shouldn't. What about... the old problem in when there was no Erev. By the way, Rabbi Shiv Weiss discussed this last week. And the whole question, what do you do with your key to the house? And remember, we had two different Eitzot. One, to make a belt where the key would be the latch. Instead of this, you'd have a key in the belt. That's a good Eitzot. What about people who made tie clips? And the tie clip was the key. Can you wear a tie clip altogether? Very fascinating question. What about a gartel? How many of you wear a gartel? No? Anyone here wear a gartel? Nobody? Nobody wears a gartel? Ah, Baruch Hashem, at least one student has Chassidish minhag and nohag and blood in him. Nope. I know many people who wear gartlach. I asked them, where do you come to wear a gartel? They said, my grandfather wore a gartel. All right, absolutely. Your grandfather wore a gartel, the vakasha. I was saying Kaddish for my father, and I'm davening in Boston, Mincha, and I go to the Yamid, and the guy comes over to me, where's your gartel? You know, about Shiva. So I pointed to my belt. The belt is a gartel. I'll be in 100% tazav, a gartel. Oh, when you tell a Baal Tshuva something, he walks away. A chassid would have said to me, das is nicht genug, that ba'uns is an andere minhag, that's not enough, we have a different minhag, we all wear belts, but you need a gartel. But a Baal Tshuva, he walked away and let me breathe freely. But a gartel, a guy's going to shul, and a gartel, and Chabadnik can wear a big gartel, dafka, they wear a big gartel. No, how? And they wear it on top of the bekasher, right or wrong? How are you allowed on Shabbos? Gloves, we often spoke.
Why is it not just a belt?
What do you need a belt around your coat for? You wear a belt, it holds up your pants. But what does it have to do with your coat? Unless they can make an issue, it tightens the coat, but there's a shvacha. A belt to hold up your pants, you're yet in solid ground. But and what do you need a gartel on top of the belt? You follow me? Some wear it on top of the belt. Somewhere here he's wearing it around the bekasha. Gloves. The whole problem of gloves, which the Achronim discuss in great detail, Machloka, but he spoke about it, that you'll take the glove off and you'll walk Dalet Amot without the glove. Are you allowed to wear gloves? Tremendous Machloka. No? All these problems, please, put up an Erev so you will not carry on Shabbos. But now, gentlemen, listen to this. If I were to say this in a Litvisha atmosphere, Reb Moshe, the Rav, they would have a good chuckle. He says it seriously. I'm on page 60 now. First of all, you have a problem. A person is walking in the street and suddenly spittle comes up. You know, you see people, I told you, indeed, we spoke about this in the Monday class years ago. In America, when I was growing up, in the big shuls, there would be a place like a spittoon where you would spit on Shabbos. And Rabbi Joseph Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, always spoke about the fights he had to get rid of the spittoons in Kehilat Yeshurun. Could you imagine in KJ there were spittoons? Now, what if you're walking on the street and suddenly, and you walk Dalet Amot, and you're carrying, what's the word in English? Spittle?
Saliva
in your mouth, Dalet Amot. All right, so you'll say, Mitasek, it's a malacha shenitzrikal the gufo. He never thought he was doing a malacha, right or wrong? Ah, so here he says, yes, there is the tradition from the Arizatzal that saw a man who died a number of years ago and he was still being punished. Why? And the Ari said, because one time he was walking along and sand and dirt went into his shoe and he didn't realize it, and he walked out l'reshut harabim carrying sand and dirt in his shoe. Wow, Arizal. Now, does that remind you of anything, gentlemen? How well are you read? I have a master's in Hebrew literature. We were forced. You don't know. You don't know how lucky you are. Today you get smicha. Noah, do you have to have a master's to get smicha? Yes or no?
I believe so.
Yeah, they require a master's, huh?
Unless you do the Kohler requirement.
Ah, so 1 second. But it's any master's you want, or they forced you into the master's?
There are two, I think.
Wow. Wow, you hear that, Jits? In our days, there was one master's they had to get, a master of Hebrew literature, and I was so stupid and so naive that I was interested in Jewish history, so I was getting an M.A. But I got, because of an M.A. and an M.H.O., and I could have said, I could have gone to the faculty, to the Rav, to Rabbi Belkin, to Mr. Abrams, to Mr. Dean Zah, they were all my friends. And I say, Lamainaf Kaminer, I'm getting a master's in an allied subject. So exempt me from the MHL. But Yitzhak Menashemayim Zikuni, from the day I came in Aliyah, I get extra shekel a month. Kefel To'arim. It's an Israeli concept. 2 degrees that are parallel. You follow? So Baruch Hashem.
I have the same thing. I got a master's in counseling psychology.
Right, and you have a master's in Hebrew literature, so it's Kefil Torah. I think also the smicha equals a bachelor's. I don't know. There are all types of laws here. But Baruch Hashem, now you talk about a master's in Hebrew literature. So this Ari reminded me of Shai Agnon, Shmuel Yosef Agnon. Have you read Shmuel Yosef Agnon's writings? Do you know who he was? He won the Nobel Prize. The man appeared before the king of Sweden with a big yarmulke on his head and made a shechiyanu. He was a frum Jew, an amazing Jew. I was at his funeral when it was an Olech Hadash. It had to be the first year I was here in Israel. Check out 69, 70. And he was an amazing Jew. And his writings, he was born in a little shtetl in Galicia. His writings are filled with warmth for Torah and a fabulous, fabulous. They say Rabbi Chaim Sabato is the Shai Agnon of our generation. So he not only writes about Galicia, he writes about Jerusalem. He came to, the old Jerusalem. And he describes the Maggid of Yerushalayim, Ben Zion Yadla. It's based upon Ben Zion Yadla, who was the Maggid in Meir Sha'arim. So, Lou, how do you rebuke the Jews in Meir Sha'arim? How do you yell at them? What sin do they do? These Jews, they're walking ghettos. Their dress, their whole lifestyle, everything is different. Alsus was the Rebbe Zacht, everything follows the Rebbe. Who sins there? You follow me? But Adam, a maggid, has to give musa, so he gets up and Shai Agnon describes, he gives musa. You go to sleep at night with a yarmulke from cup, with a yarmulke, and then you turn over and the yarmulke falls off. Sinners! Chat chaitim! What? So you see, by the way, I want to tell you, it's absolutely true. I sleep with the yarmulke. To me, a yarmulke is very precious. Halachically, I'm not paskin. I'm not so stupid to say, you have to sleep with the yarmulke or take a shower with the yarmulke around your head, or take a haircut with the yarmulke around your head. But the yarmulke to me, for my generation, like I told you, when we made a commitment, it meant a deep commitment. We didn't need beard, we didn't need pace, it was a commitment. Today it's a different world. The whole world is frum, and we have more scandals to be ashamed of than we have fingers to count. But when I saw Ari HaKodesh, look what he says, sand and dust went into his shoe. It reminded me right away of Shai Agnon giving Musa, depicting the Maggid of Meir Sha'arim giving Musa, the yarmulke fell off. But one thing, when you have an Erev, all this is not a problem. Then he gets involved in his mind is so seminal, gets involved in another problem. No, I want to ask you a question. How many of you wear tzitzit on Shabbat underneath your shirt? No? We all. I see every hand, every Shmuel, you wear Baruch Hashem, you wear tzitzit. No, I know Jews who didn't wear tzitzit on Shabbat. And we spoke with the Rav about it. Mitutvi Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, I'll explain in a minute. Rav Chaim Briska. The Rav got very upset. He said, if you if you do everything like Reb Chaim, I can abide. If you only suddenly, you're not wearing tzitzit, what's the problem? Problem is, in order to wear tzitzit, it has to be a beged. How big does a beged have to be? And it's brought down from Reb Chaim V'Lashem, from the Vilna Gaon, that the beged literally has to go down to your kneecaps. None of us wear tzitzit that goes down to our kneecaps.
You don't wear shirts like that?
Shirt, the tzitzit in a shirt, what they developed here, it's no shaila. That's fabulous. Because you're wearing a shirt that goes down to your kneecaps, right? That's not a problem. But I'm talking about the way we wear tzitzit. Right or wrong?
I'm saying a regular shirt doesn't go down.
Well, a regular shirt, but the shirt is a beged. There's a late mandapolik, it's a beged. Where's my tzitzit? What kind of beged is this? I'm wearing this simply to put tzitzit on it. By the way, here they have...
If it wasn't a beged, it wouldn't do anything.
Here they have undershirts with tzitzit. There's a whole industry here. That's fabulous. The undershirts, the shirts... I've seen already people wearing coats with tzitzit. Like Avraham Avinu at the Kotel, you can see everything. These are obviously balei tshuva. Whenever you see someone going already with something a little bit off the path, they're balei tshuva. But you have to respect them. You have to respect them. And they're going like Avraham Avinu. We'll talk about it next year, the year afterwards. I have it all prepared already. I'm Reb Menashe Klein. He deals with this problem. It's very fascinating how we're allowed to change clothes and dress in a modern fashion. Are we allowed? Aren't we allowed? Are they better off in Meir Sharim dressing like their great-grandparents? Very fascinating question. We dealt with it yesterday a little in Chassidus last Monday. We'll come back to it, etc. Okay, it's an interesting question. But then there's another part of the question. Even assuming... that this is a beged, and you don't need it down to your kneecaps. But gentlemen, there's a whole machloket rishonim whether you can have tzitzit without the chaylet. It can very well be that there's no kiyum tzitzit midioraita unless you have chaylet. This is what Reb Chaim was chayshish for. If this is the case, when you go out on Shabbat, the tzitzit are worthless. You're carrying something. It's not a kiyum. It's not a kiyum. The beged is not a beged. The tzitzit are not tzitzit. Reb Chaim didn't wear tzitzit on Shabbat. So it is said. This is the tradition. I believe the Rav, I'm not certain, it's worth looking into one of Reb Heschel Shechter's volumes to see if he discusses whether the Rav wore tzitzit on Shabbat. But for guys like us to suddenly pull a chumrah like that, it's not right. As the Rav said, when we'll have all of Reb Chaim's chumrahs, then we can go further. But one thing we see from here, that you build an Erev, it is fabulous. The sooner you build it, the better you build it, you solve 1,001 problems. Then he raises another problem, which is halachically a tremendous problem. Hefsek Taira, women who are walking around with an aid with cloth that she needs for to see whether there's any blood anymore. And how do you go out in Shabbat? The Achronim will discuss this. Lo pashut. What about if she has a shaila? And she has to take the aid bedikah to a rav at night. Can she go to mikvah? Can she go to mikvah? Today, I got to be careful what I say. The feminists are going to slam me. I just said to a rav. And what about a yoetzet halacha who passed the courses? All right, so you take it to a yoetzet. I think you know what's going on right now. We're caught up in turmoil. That's all I'm willing to say. And I'm keeping my big mouth closed. because I'm suffering inwardly, but I don't want to get involved outwardly. Let's give it 50 years and see the way it plays out. Rabbi Riskin just gave Chetah Horah to five women, and there's a whole machloket going on in Efrat, and he appointed one a rabbanit, and Rakefet is more worried. He has a five-year course for women to be dayanot. And Rabbi Miller told me, I told Rabbi Miller right away what the lundus is. And sure enough, he gave me, I'll give it out tomorrow. He gave me the Divrei Torah, and it's exactly what I thought. Kiblo alai psulim, you'll have a beitin ledini mamonet of three women sitting on the beitin. Okay? Three women, 5 years from now, of course.
What about for Git?
No, Gittin, what about for Gittin? Gittin, Kedushin, Geirut, and all that goes with it. Kedushin, you can make a case. Gittin, what do you need a Beitin for? It's the sofa, the man. The Edom, you would need the Edom, can't be women. The Edom, it's Kiyum Dova, not just Biru Dova, the Edom. Let me tell you, we're in a snowball rolling down the mountain. My only comfort is that it's not only in our world that Baruch Hashem, there's a party running for the Knesset of Charediot women who are rebelling against their status in the Haredi world. And these women are from, it's not like first they're throwing Kol HaTorah away. It's not like Moskowitz. Rabbi Shach's tremendous flying with Kashrut, who threw Kol HaTorah, I mean, took the kids, right? It's beyond, take kids out of a chayda and take their payas off and put them into a secular school, not a mamachti dati school. When they throw it away, they throw it away. Alts. They throw Rakefet away with all the Haredim. It hurts. But we're living the Charediyot. I couldn't believe I heard them speak. I saw what they've written. Their lifespan is much less than a Charedi man. They do everything. They have the children, raise the children, go to work, support the family. That the time comes, this has to end. Eishet chayu miyimtsa. No? I always used to discuss with Nechama Leibovich, do we really want a woman to do all this? Look at Eshet Chayim, Ribbono Shel Olam. What the heck do the men do in life? Okay? So, these are real questions. But if a woman has to run with the moch, with the Eid B'dikah, she needs an Erev. And it's a mitzvah to go to, it's a chiyuv to go to mikvah. Let me watch my words, but more or less a chiyuv to go to mikvah on time, not to delay it. And you want to go to the Rav when the siman is fresh, the dam is fresh, and you want a psak one way or the other. So you see here, there is a tremendous help that an Erev gives us. By the way, the Rav, Tova Lichtenstein, Tova, Dr. Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein, told me this, that many times the Rav would find envelopes in his mailbox with an aid, with the cotton or whatever she used as an aid b'dika, and a phone number for the Rebbetzin to call and just give an answer, whether it's she has to start all over again or whether it's okay and she can go further with the Hefsek Tara and the Shiva Nikiyam. So you see, even in Boston, Baruch Hashem, in the 30s, in the 40s, there were women who medat the cut in Taret Mishpacha. And then he deals with another problem, which I remember so well in my youth, and this is a tremendous chinuch problem. So you don't have an Erev. Yitzchak is in a part of London where there's no Erev.
Now I can use my hat.
No.
I don't wear a hat this summer.
What are you going to use your hat for?
I'll tell you what, I had planned my trip that on Shabbos I would go to the park, which is the zoo.
Right.
So you have to have a ticket. So I have tickets. I bought tickets in advance. So now, how can I carry the ticket on Shabbos?
You can.
So I put it in my hat. But I wear a hat on Shabbos.
You can put it in your shoe, perhaps. Fold it around the shoe. I don't know. I'm not paskening la halacha. But maybe you have to go on a weekday. And maybe Shabbos you just spend in. Maybe someone will invite you to their suda. Meet people. See what their mentality is about. Their survey came out today about England, that more British citizens hate Israel than they hate Iran. It's a survey that just came out today. So find out where these Jews are, and who's coming in Aliyah, and the handwriting is on the wall. But say that's not for now. It's difficult. I'm a lamed split. People are bothering me. Why do these Jews come? Why don't they come now? Come now, Aliyah. It's hard for a person. Lech lecha miyatzcha mimolatcha mibeit avicha. The order is absolutely wrong, because when you leave, the first thing you leave is Beit Avicha. Lech lecha me'atcha me'atcha. This next, what you leave next, you leave New York, Molatcha, the area where you grew up. The land you leave last, right or wrong, when the plane takes off, you're leaving the United States or Canada. The order is wrong. No, the order is not wrong. Spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, the hardest thing to leave is your father's house. What you were accustomed to. To leave America, all right, so you don't celebrate Thanksgiving Day. To leave New York City, so you don't have to suffer when Sheldon Silver is arrested. Beyond words, beyond comprehension. But your father's house, the block where you grew up, the team you rooted for. Okay? Take it further. This is more difficult. And I can understand, I pity these Jews. Thank God I had enough seichel and the right wife who pulled me by my crooked nose and brought me in Aliyah 46 years ago. But coming back here, you're in an area without an area. So I'm going to give you a solution. You'll see a Jewish kid going to shul, you'll ask the kid, how old are you, sonny? 10 years old. Would you do me a favor? Carry my collars, carry my eyeglasses, carry my siddur, carry my chumash. No, my dear students, when I grew up, maisim b'chol yom, that children carried for the adults on Shabbat. Well, I want to ask you, from the point of view of chinuch, how do you feel about this? It's a very interesting question. I admit, a kid, not obligated to observe Shabbat. You can talk with the kid and tell him, you know, you're a kid yet, you don't have all the chiyuvim, you're not involved with the dinim of Shabbat yet. It's enough if mitam chinuch, you hear kiddush, you don't do malacha, but to help someone get the shul, that you're allowed to do. And I would say that's the worst chinuch possible. A kid from an early age on, the earliest questions my grandchildren ask me, what toys they can play with on Shabbat, what's muksa, what's not muksa. Lego, can you build? Can't you build? These were the earliest questions I got from my grandchildren. All right, today they're big, they're older. Some of them, many of them, most of them, all of them perhaps can paskin on their own. They don't need me around for the daily shenbat. But when you build an Erev, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to depend upon children carrying. So this is another reason why we need a neighbor. Then he gets involved in Onik Shabbat. What are we talking about, Onik Shabbat? Why is Onik Shabbat so important? So you know, there's a sugya in Shabbos. I believe it's Daf Yutet, Omer Aleph, if my memory is correct. Ye'ein mafligim b'sfinah gimel yamim kolim Shabbat. Yeah, you know, the whole question of traveling on Shabbat. And you get on a boat, you all of you that where I was, they tell me in Deerfield Beach, 60 families were not there. I don't know, when I got up to speak, there were 1,000 plus people Shabbos morning, so I can't believe anyone was missing. But they tell me 60 families We're on this cruise. These are older people who are enjoying life. They're retired and they have a pension and they have social security. And Kanayin Hara, they're in good health yet that they can go on a cruise. So you're on a cruise. You're on the boat Shabbat. What does it mean? Ema fleeting besvin. All right, this is a very fascinating sugya. Tremendous machloket rishayim. It affects, it deals with going to war 3 days before, etc., etc. But the basic understanding of the sugya is that why can't you travel on a cruise 3 days before Shabbat? Because of owning Shabbat. You have to get used to the boat. On a boat, we have seasickness. I came on a boat when I went in Aliyah. We came by boat. A boat already is a different story. It shakes the water. You can have seasickness. You're not used to it. You're not used to the whole concept of a changing sunrise and a changing sunset. You're moving, you know, if you're coming to Israel, so you're moving quick. You're losing time. You're shooting ahead 7 hours, gradual, but your whole physical structure, your whole mental structure has to be adjusted 3 days before Shabbat. Wednesday already, you have to be concerned with Shabbat. It's like Havdalah. Havdalah you can make through Tuesday. Why? Because those 3 days are still part of the last Shabbat. But the next 3 days, you have to be concerned with the coming Shabbat. So you see, yes, Steve?
The yom for Wednesday, Thursday is the Chorban Yom. Yes. And it's
Right, all right, that's a good point.
But most people say that you could go on the ship on Thursday.
Well, it depends why you're going. If you're going for business or for Devar Mitzvah, you can make a whole case today. I've already seen that the whole concept of a cruise is refuah tanefesh, refuah taguf. All right, and these are big boats. The bigger the boat is, you understand, it's like a plane. In the army, I flew once on a little plane into Lebanon. Boy, you could feel every wind that came your way. When you're on a big El Al plane, a big jet, believe me, you feel 1,000 times less. So you can make a case. I'm not asking the halacha. But he uses the Gemara to show that owning Shabbat is so important that it influences many different halacha. He quotes the whole sugya in Shabbos. If you can be Menachem Avil on Shabbos, if you can be Mavaka Chayla. Why? Because there it interferes with Oneg Shabbat. But the overlying principle is it's a Gemilat Chesed. So the Gemilat Chesed of being Mavaka Chayla, but being Menachem Avil, knocks out the Oneg Shabbat. But Oneg Shabbat is very important.
No,
nowadays people are not knowing to visit, but I'll tell you something else. If someone is sitting Shiva on Shabbos and Sunday is Erev Yontif when the Shiva will end, people will go and say, and just to visit. You can't say, make a din, you can even say Nichama Velut on Shabbat, you understand? But Meika Hadin, this is why Shabbat counts for Shiva. Yontif doesn't count, it's Mevatel Shiva, because on Yontif there's no Kiyum of Avelut. On Shabbat there's a Kiyum of Avelut, there's no Nihug Avelut, but there's a Kiyum of Avelut. Once there's a Kiyum, you can have Nichum. But what he wants to show that it is so important to allow Oneg Shabbat. It is a concept in Halacha that is major in relation to the way we observe Shabbat. So he says, if you don't have an Erev, so you have someone who doesn't want to wear a plastic on his shtreimel. You have someone who doesn't want to put boots on his shoes. He's chayshish l'chumra. His Rebbe paskins l'chumra. So such a person will not go out. He'll be afraid to go to shul. He'll be afraid to go to his lima class. He'll be afraid to go to the shir. He'll be afraid to go to the onik Shabbat. If we wait for the rain to stop, he's going to be nervous looking at his watch all the time. He's going to be late. And he says, Al achat kama v'kama, we need an Erev. It helps in Oneg Shabbat. Okay? Then he says something else. And then again, his mind, how he picks this up, and he's right. He says certain things happen in life that you don't even think about, you take for granted. Tell me, you're wearing a jacket. Your jacket has a loop to hang it with. How many times does that loop break off and you just have a piece of material hanging from your jacket? All right? We spoke about the labels, the sharpness label, la briot. How is it put in? And what if two clips break off and one clip is holding it? And he goes on and on with examples. One example is genius. I never thought of this in a million years. You buy an expensive shirt today, a fancy shirt, right? A more expensive, not a face, a $9.99 shirt, but you buy a $20 shirt, a $22 shirt. Shirts are $40 is beyond me, but I've seen. So you have a reserve button on it. That button serves no purpose. What about if that button loosens up? It's a reserve button. What about even if it doesn't loosen up? What about the other buttons? What about if it starts loosening up? It's no longer really attached. All this can happen in Shabbat. And if you have an Erev, you would solve 1,000 little problems. Page 68, he gives a list of what people have to carry on Shabbos. And listen to this. Who ever thought about this? He calls it a medic alert. I don't know what the proper term is. A medic alert. People wear on Shabbat what their medical condition is. If God forbid they should faint, if God forbid an accident happens, if God forbid they rush to the hospital, you have to know, Moshe, what they're allergic to, what type of medicine they can take, what type of medicine they can take. The medical alert. No, are you allowed to carry it? Tremendous question. What are we talking about? If there's any sakana, surely you should be carrying, even if you're over an Issa D'Oraita. It's pikuach nefesh. Nitroglycerin, what we spoke about, that is already well known that they were mate to carry. Asthma, if you have asthma, there's certain sprays that you have to carry with you. What about oxygen? A person in Lo Aleinu who has breathing problems, lack of oxygen, has to wheel a tank with him. Chamtzan lekotzei neshima. What about an older person who needs a cane that he shouldn't fall? And here you get involved in a tremendous question of a cane. Look into the halacha. Can you go with a cane? And where you absolutely need it, perhaps you can even go bereshit tarabim. It's considered already like a levush. It's not carrying. What about if you need it just to walk up and down the sidewalk to go on a high step? It's not so much that you couldn't manage without it, but that it makes life infinitely easier. What about a cane? What about a cane to scare dogs away? What about a cane to scare venom away? What about a cane if you're going to walk between two women? The whole Gemara in Pesachim and the Achronim all discussed this. Rav Avadya Yosef, I believe that he said, Bizman and Zef, they're women who learn Gemara, we don't have to worry about walking between them. But I don't want to be quoted because I'm working from memory. But this is an interesting question. We are Minig Yisrael Wes. If you have a cane, you're not walking between two women. The cane is a mechitza. And all these reasons build an Erev. Now we come to something we discussed. in Reb Menashe HaKatan's Tshuvat, and here you have more sources. Unbelievable. My dear students, people who can't have children, what people go through. We take for granted that children is easy. In Israel, we have a whole organization. We do miracles with people who can't have, what's it called, puah, and you have Shaare Tzedek, Hadassah. We're dealing with major institutions. No, throughout time immemorial, people went to the Rebbe for a bracha to have children. I had a student in Midreshet Moria, a young lady who, very famous family, and she today lives in Yerushalayim, a Rebbetzin, a PhD, terrific lady, I don't want to mention her name, but a fabulous lady, married to a graduate of this very kollel. And when I first got to know her, she was a young girl of 17, 18, 19 at the perhaps. And I once asked her, you know, are there any other siblings in your family? And she tells me, yes, I have a sister many, many years younger. And then she says, and my sister, that's a result of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I didn't know exactly what she meant. And then she spelled it out, that her parents had tremendous problems. Her mother could not get pregnant again. And she went to the Rebbe for a bracha, and within a year, her sister was born. And he tells the following story, that a young man couldn't have children. He came to one of the descendants of the Chernobyla Rebbe, and he asked the Rebbe, "Bikesh mimenu bracha l'kibasha b'zera shel kayama." And the Rebbe asked him, "Is there an Erev, the Hata native in Ayushtat? Is there an Erev in your city?" And the young man said, "No." And the Rebbe said, "Go out of your way and do everything possible to build an Erev. Os svet zayin an Erev vet min kenin trogin." And he gives a source. It's a play on words in Hebrew, in Yiddish, I should say. Kenin Tragin means to carry. We use the same term, she is carrying a child. She is pregnant. See, Trakta Kind. She is pregnant. Build an Erev, and you will not only be able to carry on Shabbos, but your wife will carry a child. And then he says, the author must have Hasidic blood in him, tells a story about the Shinova Rav, the Shinova Rebbe. Who was the Shinova Rebbe? That was the most famous son of the sons of Rav, of Rav Chaim Halberstam. And he tells a story, some young men came to him and pleaded for a bracha to have children. And when he was about to leave, they reminded him again, as the Rebbe should yifal avuram Yeshua, as ol poyler zayin, he should do something to bring them salvation. And the Rebbe said, "I don't understand you. If there's no Erev in the city, v'yazeh came in trogin. If there's no Erev in the city, how can you carry on Shabbos? Eben vet machin an Erev, vet min kenin trogin." Ad kan devrei hakadosh shalom. These were the words of the Rebbe. Build an Erev and you'll be able to be pregnant with children. And the young people listened to him, and some of them had children within the year, and he gives a name of one of those Hasidim that as a result, Hagon Reb Ephraim Tempfeld, he had a child that year as a result of the bracha. And then he tells another story.
This is listening to Harry Potter.
Yitzchak,
this is really
you do not have a Hasidic soul, And I would advise you, I would advise that in London, you hop up to Stamford Hill for a visit. Maybe your Litvische, Ungarische soul will be improved.
How about him telling the young man to go see a doctor and have a sperm count
examined? Yitzchak, relax yourself. Even with the sperm count and the doctor and everything. Mindafabin Abracha from the Rebbe. See, Yitzchak grew up, I apologize.
But he
grew up in Boston. And the classic story out of Boston, which I love, it captures the Rav. He went to Maimonides, he grew up in the shadow of the Rav. So the Rav, you know, Saturday night used to give a big public shiur that it began with 40, 50 people over the years, hundreds and hundreds, you know, became very famous. So they tell me in the 70s, after the shiur on Saturday night, a kid came over to the Rav and he told the Rav, Rebbe, you know, he's studying maybe in Harvard, one of the local schools there. And he says, you know, I'm a Ramaz graduate, I'm studying in an Ivy League college. The Rav perks up and he says, Rebbe, could you give me a bracha? And the Rav says to him, what are you, an apple? So Yitzchak is in that camp. But just to give Yitzchak a little bit more heartache, he tells a story of a Jew who came to Rabbi Yoelish. Who is Rabbi Yoelish? Isaac. It's the Satmarov. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. I gave many shirim against his hashkafer. Go back 3 years ago. You got 6 months worth of Das Teira from my friend Rabbi Frankfurter, who thinks I'm flippant. Wow. So he came to the Satmarov and he asked for children, a bracha. The Satmarov told him, come and live in Monroe. In Monroe we have an Erev. It's not like Williamsburg. That man can trugin, and there you can carry, and trugin, your wife will carry a child. And at Kain Asad, Suga had some Rebbe, did what the Rav told him, and lo and behold, he had a child. So you see, that's another beautiful reason for building an Erev. And beautiful, beautiful idea. Yitzchak, you can do everything, a sperm count and go to Pua, but a bracha from a Nish Kadosh doesn't... Beseda, but a bracha from an Adam Gadol, from a Tzaddik, It doesn't harm us, it just helps us. You understand?
How come the Rav didn't do that?
How come the Rav? The Rav, it was the Rav.
He chesed
without an end. But al Litvak, as geboren al Litvak, and gelebt wie al Litvak, and at gestorben al Litvak, and Baruch Hashem, look at his children, and Nebuch with all the squiot, his grandson blown away in a terrorist attack. God, it's Shakim, Hanof. So, what can I tell you? The Eibishter should be kind to us, that's all. But a bracha doesn't hurt. People come to me, I got already an email if I take fitlach. So I answered, I don't know if they were joking or serious. I think they were serious. So I answered that, yes, I take fitlach, I invite you to come to my shir. That's a Litvische kvittel. Understand? But if people ask me for a bracha in Florida, a lot of people ask me for a bracha. I give a bracha. What can it hurt? I'm a human being. The Eibishter should help. That's all. That's the it's a gemilat chesed. Make the person give confidence. Make them feel good. You know, life is difficult enough. No one has a perfect life. People don't realize that. When you're growing up, we sort of inculcate, and it's part of the way we grow up in Musar and all that goes with it, that we can have a perfect life. We have to make life perfect, but no one has a perfect life. You understand? That's life. And we can go. People sitting in this room, I know their personal stories. I know my personal story. The Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe, you can mention all the names of America. They all went through difficulties. No one had it that easy. And unfortunately, these are human beings. Look at all the machleket in the world. Are you happy 30 students arrested in Panovich? Could you believe what's going on? The middle of Maariv to shoot pepper gas, whatever they call it. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. Bavav, I come, we're in Borough Park for Shabbos, so I daven early, I make Kiddush, Malk and I go for a walk, we walk over to Bavav. Five police cars outside, you know, with policemen, policewomen. So, you know, we're friendly Americans, we say to them, we're visiting from Jerusalem. Why are the police cars parked here? It's Saturday morning. So this policewoman says, well, you visitors don't understand. Last week they were fighting in this synagogue, throwing chairs at each other. Oh. This week we're here in advance, so if anything happens, we're on the spot. I couldn't believe my ears, but it's true. You know, and now the psalm. Bavav, split in half, yeah. But this is before the split. This is when the Machlekes is at its height.
The Rebbeim didn't put a stop to it, they didn't say anything?
Today they're two Bavavs. What do you want? There should be two Panoviches split already, but don't make this Machlekes has gone on for years.
It's also an issue of money. Who owns the
village? Exactly. Yeah, Panovich, who the Rebbeim, it's the same thing like Bavav. Who's in charge? The grandson or the grandson-in-law of the Panovich Rav? And you're talking about the property worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not a small matter. But it's they'll tell you, l'shem shemayim, again, when you go to the approach, my Rebbe is right and everyone else is wrong, you follow me? And to my world of thinking, good, you have two different Rebbeim, choose who you want. Hashtia kadat, they know names. All right, anyway, we're not going to solve these problems, but a bracha from the Rebbe, sahat nish. You added to doing everything that has to be done. I'm sure the Rav occasionally had to give a bracha balabata. You know, a kid coming to him, a Harvard kid, give me a bracha. So the Rav had a little fun with him. Said, "Vada, you an apple?" But I'm sure the Rav balabatim Rebbe gita brachim dafav mazel mit the kinder mit the einiklach. Okay, I'm sure he gave. Does the bracha help? Seken is shatten. You understand that can harm. Look at it that way. All right, let me go a little bit further. And it's amazing. Now, I'll tell you something else. You come in, so you didn't wear a raincoat. Your clothing are wet. You start to shake out the clothes. He brings down from Akronim that there can be a whole she'ela of skita. You're shaking the water out of the clothes. If you have an Erev, you can wear a raincoat. You can wear a plastic on top. You'll never have to shake out your coat.
You carry an umbrella.
No, and an umbrella, despite the fact that you can make a strong case, and Achronim, the early Achronim did, it's makubal not to carry an umbrella. That has won out not to carry. Okay, we've spoke about it. Today I don't have a problem because I have enough rain clothes that I can walk in the rain and nothing will happen. And then on page 73, I laugh when I think of this. And you walk on the street, all right? You're wearing a yarmulke and suddenly a heavy wind blows off the yarmulke, all right? Tell me, what happens, and he brings this up, I don't know, with such a seminal mind, what happens if the yarmulke, the kippah, falls under a car? At that moment, the car is reshut hayachid. You're going to bend down to pull the yarmulke out into reshut harabim. It's mamish akira, hanhanocha, mamish enisa d'oraita. Pshuto kamashma'o. Build an Erev. And he says that a friend of his told him it actually happened, that he saw the yarmulke rav echad hayirli, that the strong winds, the kippah blows off, the hat blows off. It can blow anywhere. You got to remember not to carry a talit amot. But if it blows under a car, you have the exact question of tiltul me reshut l'reshut, Yachid, the Rishut HaLabin, you're bordering on an Isa the Oraita.
What do you do,
Lamaisa? I don't. If you don't have an Erev, I would kick it with my foot. I would do it to liachi yad. I don't know what to tell you, Lamaisa. It's a fascinating shaila. Yes, yes, Adam.
The assumption that all the big streets are considered rishus rabim, that cars that are driving on the streets are not rishus
liachim? No. You can make a case, but most of the achronim say that a car, this is the whole reason you don't count them for 600,000. Because the car is mamas rishus hayachid, it has mechitza of more than 10 tefachim. It's very hard to come out of that. The car is mamas rishus hayachid, and if it's under the car and the car is parked, the car is stationary. How do you get the hat? And you're on a rishut harabim. I don't know. It reminds me we were walking Shabbos, so Malka showed me on the ground was 10 agarot. So I told Malka, that was our old question when we were kids growing up. If you found 10 cents on the ground, a penny already didn't pay, but 10 cents was real money, can you keep your foot on it and stand there till after Shabbos and then pick it up? But that was one of the questions we threw around in Bnei Akiva. So I don't know. I don't know what to answer you. Can we come up with a kula? Kaliyach yad ken zayin. We can do something. Kaliyach yad. But it's mamash a problem. To say that the cars are not rishus hayachid, I don't see it. In other words, in my mind, I see the car, and I see, you know, ten tefachim is way less than a car. A car. There was a guy, David Olivestone. Do you recognize the name? He put out the NCSY of Beer Cone. So he lived in it. When I came in Aliyah in 69, he already was here. Then he went back to America for many decades, and he came back recently. So David Olivestone, my first Sukkot here, 69, took his car. He evidently had a skylight in the car, opened the skylight, covered it with schach, and the newspapers, Mariv, Yedia, front page picture, a car that is a sukkah. You follow? And the truth is, certainly if he's stationary, it's a sukkah. 10 tefachim, it's not 20 tefachim, but it's more than 10 tefachim. It's fine. It's more than, it's not 20 amot. You follow me? It's not going all the way up. But it's 10 tefachim. It's got a beautiful sukkah in the car. Why not? And I always, whenever I would meet David over the years, I say, someone like you got such publicity on every newspaper, and you're living in Muncie, but Baruch Hashem.
You lived on Upper West Side.
Excuse me?
You lived on Upper West Side.
I thought he lived in Muncie, you know? Upper West Side. Stand corrected, all right.
He moved to Teaneck about 10 years ago.
And then he moved, but he moved to Yerushalayim today.
A year and a half
ago. All right, I stand corrected from the Upper West Side to Teaneck.
He was my father's
Baltokay, you know, very...
He was there. He won a contest. He won a number of contests. He was one of the top 10 in the world.
Top 10 what?
Baltokay.
Who won a contest?
They do it in Israel every year.
A contest on Baltokay? It's something new to me. I never heard about it. But then again, I'm not a Baltokay. Let me see, my sons-in-law, I don't think any of my sons-in-laws blow either. They're all Balukore, and my grandsons, I don't think anyone blows.
It's an international contest.
International, Kala Kavod, one of the top 10 in the world, so the Rebbe would have brought him to Boston to blow for him with all the briska chumris. Okay, let me just do one more thing. He raises another issue, that what about women who go out with a shaitel, and on top of the shaitel, put a tichel on, a mitpachat. What would you call it in English? A scarf? What would be the word? It's not exactly a scarf.
A kerchief.
Okay. Now, first of all, you have two problems here. Number one, what do you need the kerchief for? You already have the shaitel. Number two... Yes, they say, yeah, so it's a kishut, fine. Again, we can make l'zayin b'diavad, women. Certainly, the Ungarisha all go like that. The Ungarisha all go like that. That's a sign of an Ungarisha. Shekel with a hat on top, with a kerchief on top.
They came out with the idea that the shekel's a nicer...
looking than their real hair.
That's
and
a different.
They don't want, so they cover up their hair.
That's all right. That's a that's a different.
Like
boy, with the word that the poor Hasidim are getting it that today on all sides. Steve, relax. So no, but he raises
the store today, should we even pick up, take the card and put the cartier, you know, the cartier's just right on the whatever you call it, on the counter, and then she picked it up.
And oh, where was that? That they would.
Zolba Gadol.
Oh, Zolba Gadol. The woman wouldn't take the cartier from you. Why you? Right?
Yep.
Okay.
She's dressed in that, you know,
okay.
Garb.
Okay. Wait, 1 second. Just be sure we have a minion. Okay, you're coming right back. Good. Okay, we'll have a minion. We'll daven. All I can say is you're absolutely right. If we're going to start worrying, I once went into a store here where they had signs up. It was a bakery in Meir Sharim, and it had Gvarim Nashim, two different lines. And I saw the men's line, women were serving them, and the women's line, men were serving them. So Mimanav Shachunt Vidah, either or. If it's women, women, men, men, but don't mix the two. But life, you have to know how to get along, men and women, and not to be sexual fiends. But that's what Rakefet thinks. It could be that Ami thinks differently, and they're entitled to their opinion. I hope I'm entitled to mine. That's the problem here. But let it ride. But I appreciate the people who wanted to go to battle for me. I appreciate it. Okay, anyway, but he raises a different problem. These women are wearing a tichel on top of the sheitel, tzniot, minhag avot, imotehem biyodehem, but they might very well take off the tichel to show it around. Peya nachrit, no woman is going to take off. You follow me? You don't want to, particularly Ungarische women, if they shave their hair, they're certainly not going to take it off. But any woman wearing a sheitel is not going to remove the sheitel to show it around. But a tichel, shemel yitaltena, dalet amar, is the same shiloh like with gloves. It's the same shiloh with jewelry. Same shiloh with an engagement ring. All the achronim, these are real problems. So how are you allowed? Build an Erev, and there will be no problem. All right, I want to say that I see we all enjoyed today's shiur. Mind is very seminal. We have more to do, and you'll see at the end he comes in with something very interesting. But he has convinced me, build an Erev, even if you don't want to hold by the Erev, but it solves so many problems. I would say the highlights today is the sand in your shoe, the maggid in Yerushalayim, when you turn your head at night, the kippah falls. I was a kid when I read, I read them in college, I think, not in graduate school, but I have to say, I never enjoyed anything more than Shai Agnon. He's filled with love and understanding, but with a good, insightful, critical, humoristic eye, both of the old world and the new world. Another very important part today was Boit a Native can mintragen, you can carry. Without an Erev, you can't carry. Now, tomorrow I have to say I got a lot of comments on last Monday's shiur. It was a unique shiur. I'm overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. Baruch Hashem, I'm proud of it. I pick up exactly where I left off tomorrow. And we're in the world of Chassidut. We're shifting into America. And you'll see very, very fascinating material. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us strength. We're not going to reach the Rebbe yet, but we're building into the seventh Rebbe because no one accomplished more than this individual did. A man of not very tall, not very overpowering in appearance, doesn't look like a basketball player, but what an individual, what a bren, what eyes, what vision, what achievement that still lives on today. I got an email today which I'm going to incorporate in tomorrow's class, Be'ezrat Hashem. So until we meet again, in health and happiness, Das Vedanya, and let's stop Marv. Anyone Chiyuv here? Who will take the Amid? Rafi? For Hurachim? Is Sidurma right here?